creepy as hell. What is up, people? Happy Halloween to all you spooksters out there. It's your boy Rich, aka Library Monster, back at it again for another video, another podcast. So, you're listening to another episode of Behind the Library, and wow, we got a lot to cover today. And the funny thing is, it's the Halloween season, you know, and everyone usually around this time, you're thinking trick-or-treating, you're thinking, you know, Halloween parties to go to, you're thinking scary movies, this, that, and the third, and frankly, all we need to do is turn on the news for 5 minutes, and we've got all the fright we can ask for, and then some. Or better yet, just go outside. Like, I had some errands to do today. I went to the bank, and it was the stupidest experience I think I've ever had in a long time, man. I went to the bank today. And I bank with TD Bank, America's most convenient bank, allegedly, right? I go in there, and man, you talk about just COVID-19 idiocy. I've never experienced this before. So I walk in there, and I'm like, okay. You know, you get in the habit of going in places and just doing what you have to do. And the bank is one of those places. So I go in there, and I walk right in. Which I shouldn't have done. Honestly, I really shouldn't have done. I had my mask on and everything. But, you know, the security guard stops me. He's like, oh, wait, you got to wait before you come in. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. You know, I'm thinking that you have to, like, they're at a capacity kind of thing where, you know, they only allow a certain number of people in at one time. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to stand here and wait. And he goes, no, where's your number? And I'm like, my number? What are you talking about? And he goes, do you got your phone? And I'm like, yeah. And so I'm looking at my phone, and he goes, yeah, you gotta take the QR code on that thing flyer right there, and that'll give you a number, and then you have to wait for us to get it and then call you in. And I'm like, oh, what? So I try to follow his instructions, but my phone's a little old or whatever, so it didn't have the QR thing automatically on my camera. So I end up having to go. Instead, I have to text a different phone number from the one that is usually associated with the bank. The bank's app doesn't have the QR thing attached to it. So I have to text this number. And I have to... So in order to do that, I have to connect to Wi-Fi, the bank's Wi-Fi. Right at this point, I'm like 5-6 minutes in, and there are more people coming in behind me trying to get in. They're having the same problem. Then the banker, he's coming over calling in the people that actually managed to get it. So now all of a sudden you have about 8 people in a small confined area. The customers, the banker, and the security guard, we're all breathing in each other's air. All right, the security guard's having to touch people's phones to try to help them along or whatever. I finally, after about maybe 10 minutes, get the text message to go through. The text message sends me another text, but I had to go to a website. on my phone to confirm and put in all my information so they could give me a number, which happened to be number 2. And then the same banker who just left me a minute ago comes right back and he goes, okay, we're ready to see you now. There was nobody online. They could have just waved me in. I was maybe in close proximity with about 10 people at one point, right? And this whole transaction, I could have only contacted 2. I could have contacted with the security guard, and I could have contacted with the teller who was behind the glass wall. But instead, because I had to go through this rigmarole shenanigan, I mean, Jiminy Christmas kind of craziness, I have to do the damn app, the stupid phone thing. I had to do all of that, and I ended up having contact with multiple people. This is what it's coming to, like, honestly. And I'm not being a first world asshole right now. I'm not being entitled and as such. I'm just saying You could have just said, okay, we can't let that many people in. You wait here, and then we'll wave you in. Instead, they tried to make this some kind of Uber tech thing that they thought was good. Apparently, they must have thought it was going to make things a lot easier, and it just made things ridiculously hard. But that's the thing that bothers me. It's like, yo, this wasn't just the bank manager, right? This had to be like, this had to cross a lot of people's desks to implement this policy. And apparently it got approved, but it's just, this is what's going on now. And I just, it's New York. I get it. We were the epicenter of the COVID pandemic, but it's just like, Jesus Christ, man. What are you doing to me right now? I wasn't even doing any crazy kind of transaction. You know, I was just doing a simple transaction. It should have taken no more than 2 minutes. It didn't take more than 2 minutes. I spent more time wrestling with my phone in the security guard than I did inside the actual bank. It's a crazy and scary world that we're living in right now. I mean, just, oh, wow. I mean, and sticking with that, like, you see what's going on over there in Europe right now? In Paris, especially, look at this thing. I mean, for those of you watching on YouTube, you can see this. For those that are just listening, there's record traffic jams because Paris is going into a second lockdown, right? And they're all fleeing. Everyone's trying to get the hell out of there. And here's the thing: aren't they going to spread the disease around to different parts of the country if they do that? Like, again. I'm not against taking measures to stifle COVID-19, but by no means. You know, I don't want for people to think that that's where my position is. I defer to the scientists, okay? And I've also been very into preparedness, emergency preparedness, and of course, pandemics have been a huge part of that. So I've read up a lot about this stuff. And I've been a prepper. I'm not ashamed to admit that. I prep, you know, because you never know what's going to happen. And so when the thing with the masks started, I was one of the first people wearing a mask. I was wearing a mask when people were looking at me like, what the hell's wrong with this guy? He's wearing a mask. And this is in New York City before anyone. This was when COVID was still like confined to those cruise ships that we had off the, you know. I was putting a mask on, man, because I didn't trust it. I did not trust it. We had people telling us not to wear masks, and then come to find out that the NSA was sending around secret memos to their workers saying, listen, for continuity of government, start hoarding some masks. And that's what they were doing. So I was wearing a mask, and I still believe in wearing masks. You know, we have to stifle this disease. It's a very dangerous disease. People go, well, it hasn't killed that many people, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, look, we don't know anything about it, man. We don't know anything about it. This is something totally new. And China's not helping. They're not. They're not helping at all. They're not telling us what they really know about. I think they know a lot more about the disease than they're letting on, honestly. And I think that we're just now figuring this out. And we don't know the long-term implications of being infected. You know, for all we know, everyone that gets COVID, yeah, you're hell young, healthy, you get over it, whatever. 5 years later, you're dead. Your organ system failure or whatever, you know, we don't know. So you err on the side of caution, wear your mask, you know, try to, you know, limit your spread potentially. And, you know, hopefully we get through this, but some of this stuff, when they try to fix things, they make it worse. And I think that's what's going on in Paris right now. They're going into a lockdown and all these people just, I mean, it's bumper to bumper. There's videos, you know, out of France right now of people leaving Paris, and I'm just like, some of these people might be asymptomatic, and they're just gonna, I mean, it's just gonna spread willy-nilly now, and it's because they locked down, and everyone's like, oh no, what am I gonna do? Listen, prepare, you know, prepare, get your stuff together, you know, just have some supplies ready just in case you need them, and, you know, we may go into another lockdown over here in New York City. Things are getting, starting to heat up again, but we knew that was coming, because we were going into the flu season. And so this is what I'm saying. Like, I don't know about Halloween this year, because we don't need to be more scared than we really are. You know, the news, first of all, look, I'm not saying this stuff to terrify people. I don't want that. I don't want people, you know, losing their minds because they think they're going to die or something like that. Listen, live your life, but take reasonable precautions. That's not hard, you know. And it's, you know, wear a mask, wash your hands a lot, you know, try to limit as much exposure to as many people as possible. But see, this is why I trust individuals and not institutions. Like, we're institutions, they make these giant rules, right? They make giant rules without really thinking about how it affects things on the ground. So it's just like with the, you know, with the bank, they made a rule. They're like, this is genius. We'll have them sign in with their phone. We'll have them do this. And it just made things a hell of a lot worse. So I don't know. Trust yourself. Trust your gut. What I found interesting, though, is I had been participating in like this research study, and it's out of the University of Chicago, and I guess it's about like you know, the influence of the internet and information on, you know, your political position, your political opinions, whatever. What ties into the COVID, though, was I filled out one of their surveys. Because I do that, you know, I'm into social sciences and I participate. Why not? Plus, I got a little Amazon gift card out of it, too. It's not that bad. But yeah, I fill out one of their surveys. And at the end of the survey, because I had said one of the questions was about China and the origins of COVID-19. And I said, I checked a little box that said it might be a Chinese bioweapon. It might have been an accidental exposure. It might have been this, might have been that. At the end of the survey, they made it a point to say, it is not a Chinese bioweapon. Make sure you know that. Make sure you know that it's not an experimental disease. It's not man-made. Make sure you know that. And I'm like, dude, you're jumping conclusions. You're jumping to conclusions. And because there is evidence to suggest it may have been. And people are ignoring it. You know, there are experts out of China who have said, you know, we worked on this. But people are ignoring that. But then I started to think, why would they tell us that? You know, why would they really want us to accept that it was a naturally occurring phenomenon, even though there was a bioweapons facility right in Wuhan? Why would they want us to accept that? And I started thinking, you know, maybe they're doing us a favor. You know, maybe we're avoiding World War III by making sure people think that this was a total, you know, act of God or whatever. Because, like, let me take you through my thought process here. If it was a bioweapon, right, a man-made virus, say it was an accidental exposure, right? Well, if it comes out that it was an accident and it was man-made, well, everyone in the world's going to look at China, especially the United States, is going to look at China like, hey, you know, you owe us reparations for all the destruction to our economy because of what you guys did, man. And China's going to be like, F you, of course. They're not going to pay. I mean, they can't afford to rebuild the world from their mess up, right? So what's going to happen? War. And a war between the U.S. and its allies and China, that's just, you're talking the end of civilization, man. That'll heat up real fast. And so that's one scenario. And the other scenario ends this exactly the same way. If it was a deliberate exposure, a deliberate release of a bioweapon, well, then it has to be war, right? Every American over here would be outraged and would want revenge. So what are they going to ask for? War. And so maybe it's a, you know, honestly, if I knew for certain that this was not a naturally occurring phenomenon, I would probably lie and tell people that it was just to avoid the specter of that. But this is the crazy, scary world we're living in, man. So it's only fitting that it's Halloween and people are just being frightened. I mean, people are so frightened, okay? They started Walmart. Walmart was frightened. What do I mean? They were so scared. They're so scared that there's going to be civil unrest. They pulled all of the guns and ammo from their shelves because of civil unrest. Then people, you know, gun groups and other people started getting upset that they did that. So they started to bring it back. Check it out. Right here, out of the Washington Post, Walmart backtracks and begins putting guns back in stores. Here's the thing. I don't know, and I'm a big gun person. I believe in the Second Amendment. I don't think that we would have a Bill of Rights right now if not for the Second Amendment, quite frankly. That said, I've never owned a gun. It's my choice. I choose not to arm myself. Plus, it's really hard to get a license in New York City, so it's just not worth it. But Walmart removing the guns, right? It may have actually been a good idea. As hard as it is, you know, and I don't want to say that. The truth is, I don't want to say that. But we're living in a very weird time, and they saw all these guns being bought up, and they said, oh my God, what's going to happen after the election? Are people going to start looting? Is it going to be, and if they start looting, what are they going to loot? I mean, some people will take clothes and food, but if there's guns and there's looting, you best believe people are stealing guns. They could resell them. They could use them for themselves. So they cleared out all of the guns and the ammo from the shelves. And I first heard about this on TikTok. One of the TikTokers, she was like, I come to the gun section and there's nothing here. And I asked the store employee, and he goes, yeah, corporate decided, you know, we're not going to keep guns right now. And we're not going to keep the ammo right now because it's just too dangerous. And I guess, you know, it looks like they experienced backlash. But maybe they were being responsible, man. You know, honestly, I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in people's rights to bear arms. But I do think we're living in a very strange time where people are on edge. It's not going to take much for them to get violent. And it's just too easy to get them. You know, I always thought they could do a better job of securing them in Walmart. I haven't been into too many Walmarts. You know, in New York City, we don't have Walmarts. I know that's hard to imagine for most of the country because they're everywhere, but we don't have any. But I digress. When I have traveled out and gone to a Walmart, I always felt like they were too readily available. I always felt like they should be in a back room somewhere. You know, you only get to see a picture of it, and then someone takes you in the back, and then they show you. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. I just never really felt like they took the security of those things as serious as they needed to. That's just my opinion. You know, who knows? Maybe it changed. It's been a while since I've been to one. It's been a few years. So, but they're putting them back on the shelves. I don't know if that's a good idea or a bad idea. I guess we'll wait and see because it's getting weird out here, man. It's getting really weird. And but, you know, hey, at least it's Halloween and we still have to have fun, right? So I just want to show you guys this last story before we get into today's book. I love this one. There's a Texas woman who got in trouble because she had this display of skeletons in these racy kind of postures, and people on her block were getting upset because of how they were posed. Like, there's one with a skeleton doing a pole dance. It's great. There's another where there's like an orgy going on. Like, there's two couples, skeletons, and you know they're on top of each other or whatever. And there's, you know, there's more skeletons pole dancing. I thought it was funny. It was hilarious. You know, come on, stop being a stick in the mud. You know, she was trying to have some fun for Halloween, and that's what Halloween's about, right? It's about fun and good times and kind of creepy things. And so what, you know, what's wrong with that? You know, we need to be laughing right now, honestly, because things are really serious. But if this makes people laugh, you know, which it obviously did, let her go, let her go, let her live her life. You know, they make her take down the display. Come on, lighten up. You know, we got enough heavy things to deal with right now. I love it. I've been looking at these pictures and I was like, that is thinking outside the box, lady. That was awesome. So that brings me to today's book. You know, keeping with the Halloween theme. This one's called Horoscopes. It's by Stella Hyde. Now, I'm not big on, I wouldn't say, you know, I shouldn't say that. I am kind of big on astrology. I just find it interesting. I don't take it too seriously. You know, I don't really think that you can dictate a person's future by the stars and their alignments or whatever. But I did find this book to be very interesting. Like, when I came across it in Barnes & Noble, this is a few years ago, I forgot I had it. And I was going through my personal library, and I was like, wow, this looks pretty cool. So I started going through it, and I like it. It talks more about the dark side of each one of the signs, like Pisces. I'm a Pisces, that's of course, so that's why I went there. You know, it talks about the Jekyll and Hyde persona, and it gets into, you know, your kind of evilness. It calls us sea werewolves, and that's pretty cool. I also like the illustrations. Illustrations are really creepy. They're really like, but they're funny creepy. They're kind of Tim Burton-esque, that kind of thing. So I loved it. I thought it was a really cool book, and it was interesting to read about the more negative sides of each sign and how to kind of manage the monsters within. That's like the author's, I guess, primary assertion. That we, as you know, with different signs, have the dark side, and the dark side manifests as these monsters, this monster-ness that's inside every human being. And, you know, in accordance with your sign is what kind of tells you what type of monster you're dealing with. And in my case, in the case of Pisces, you know, it has a lot to do with our kind of two-faced nature, our kind of very cunning, manipulative type of way of being. And I, of course, you know, you're going to get people that are very analytical, and they'll go, well, you know, that can apply to anybody and this, that, and the third. And I'm like, again, have some fun. Have some fun. It's an interesting thing. Astrology is interesting. I like astrology. Numerology, just sacred geometry. I'm into all of that. You know, it's just an interesting pastime that I like. You know, palm reading, handwriting analysis. Now, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't like drop a G on a psychic or anything like that. And to me, that's just crazy. But it's interesting to explore these pseudosciences. Because that one, it's fun. It's kind of, you know, comforting in a weird psychological way. And, you know, they all have their roots somewhere, right? I mean, these have been with us for a very long time. They didn't just come out of nowhere. You know, someone didn't just sit down and invent astrology just, you know, on a whim. These are things that have been with us for a long time. So there are elements of truth in them. And so, I like the book. I highly recommend it, especially if you like kind of like a creepy, like, I don't know about everybody else, but when I construct my libraries, I like to have kind of themed shelves, and also the exterior of the book. You know, people say don't judge a book by its cover, and you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but having a nice book cover and a nice kind of book binding, have it, like the way it sits on your shelf, it gives a different impression to the room, kind of. Like when you go to someone's place and you check out their library, their personal library, and you start checking out all of their books on the shelf, it's really cool to just see how they're laid out. Because that's also going to give you a lot of, it's going to give you a lot of information about the person. And I mean, that's what I think. With me, it's more deliberate. So like, I have a lot of creepy books on like one shelf, and it's cool. I like to see the reactions of people when they come by and they check out my library. It's the fun thing. Oh, looks like that's our time. They're playing us out. Well. Listen, everybody, I hope everyone has a happy, safe, and fun Halloween. If you're locked down, you know, do the best you can. Enjoy yourselves. You know, if you need some scary stuff, just look at the news. If not, you know, turn it off for a while. You know, have some candy, play some games, and just have a good time. Have a good time while we all are still here. So, it's your boy, Rich, a.k.a. Library Monster on TikTok. We're on Spotify now. The Behind the Library podcast is on Spotify. Check us out. And, yeah, I'll catch you guys next time. Peace.